today is, in the church calendar, what we call Trinity Sunday. Sometimes I think Trinity Sunday is one Sunday a year in the church calendar when we really have to kind of buckle down and wrap our minds around a concept about God. The word Trinity is actually not even mentioned in the Bible, but the Bible truly teaches the concept of the Trinity. And that is, as Billy Graham said, that God the Father is fully God, God the Son is fully God, and God the Holy Spirit is fully God. And that the Bible presents this as fact, but the Bible doesn't explain it because it's something that we cannot fully understand. So I'm going to do my best this morning to help us more fully understand this. This is not actually a teaching of Jesus. This is a doctrine of the church that was drawn up or written up years, hundreds of years ago because of the teachings of the Bible and who God is, who Jesus is, and who the Holy Spirit is. And the scriptures reflect this doctrine of God, revealing God in three persons. And as the back of your bulletin tells us, that the Trinity points to a God who is more than creator, who made the world out of nothing. God has entered into our world and poured out His divine love for us once for all in Jesus Christ, and that this God condescends to live among us as the Holy Spirit, restoring us in the strength, goodness, and purpose that only God can offer. Now, this doctrine of the Trinity, or the three persons, teaches us that these three persons are equal in substance, they're equal in power, and they're equal in glory. This doctrine of the Trinity is the place, I want to say this morning, where all roads divide. This is an intersection where when we come to it in our lives, we make a decision which direction we're going to go. And as many people say that there are many roads to heaven, here's where we find that there are not. That all roads are not the same and not all lead to the truth. The Trinity deals with God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. First of all, I want to talk about God this morning. In the Bible, God is spoken of as a Father, as a He, as the Holy One, and Lord, as someone who is in charge of other people. And I want to make it clear this morning so we fully understand this together and are all on the same page, that because God is referred to as a Father or He does not mean that He is a man in per se, in that He is a male. That's not the way it works. God is neither male nor female. He doesn't need to be either one. The reason this was assigned to God as naming Him is that in this way we can know He is a person. Okay? And how He works like a Father over His people, over His creation. Speaking of Him as a He, that He is a person. The first place we look when we start talking about God as a person and this Trinity, this Triunity, or as it's more often called, is in Genesis chapter 1, the very beginning of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, you have to understand that this word God, this name God, this title God, is first of all capitalized, telling us and identifying this as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But more so, in the Hebrew language, this word God is Elohim. Elohim, it means strong one. And it is a pluralistic word from the Hebrew root of Eloah. Okay? So when we read, in the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth, we understand that there was a pluralistic, undertone here of this person that did this creating. And it tells us the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the spirit of Elohim, His spirit, this person, the spirit was hovering over the waters. I want you to keep that in your mind because that's important as we go along here. Elohim, this pluralistic deity, so to speak, was the one who created the heavens and the earth, and his spirit hovered over the waters. In the Shema, which is Judaism's basic confession of faith found in Deuteronomy chapter 6, it tells us, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." The Lord our God, the Lord our Elohim, strong one. Again, a pluralistic undertone. He's pluralistic, but yet he's one. Okay? In Matthew chapter 3, it speaks of Jesus being baptized, coming up out of the water, and that this dove was seen descending on him. And a voice came out of heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." So we see that God, in a sense, is a father, so to speak, although he did not create, nor was Jesus born. Jesus was begotten. Okay? But God said, "This is my Son." And in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." The three, baptizing them in the name of the three. When Paul ended 2 Corinthians, as he wrote, he said, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you." So we see throughout the Bible, there's this understanding of a pluralistic God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now let's go to Jesus, because here is really where things get stirred up in modern religion today. There are many people who believe that we are all worshiping the same God. We're just doing it in a different way. Christianity is the only religion, with the exception of possibly some of Judaism, that believes in a triune God. Okay? Christianity is the only religion today. However, we have to understand Christianity is not a religion, it's relationship. And we have this relationship with God where we understand that He is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Not three separate persons at three different times in history, where He was the creating God of the Old Testament, He was the atoning Son of the New Testament, and He was the quickening or the life-giving Spirit that continues on into our day. That's called modalism. And that's a heresy that goes back hundreds and hundreds of years to the beginning of the church. He is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit all at the same time. When we start talking about Jesus, one reason that when Jesus says, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father," that Jesus is God. In John chapter 14, verse 11, he says, "Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me," or at least believe in the evidence of the miracles themselves. Because you see, he had been performing miracles that only God could perform. So he was a special man. He was God in the flesh. That's what we call incarnation. In John chapter 10, Jesus said, "I and the Father are one." And in today's text, the one I love most of all, the one that is most misconstrued by other religions who claim to be Christians, speaking on the deity of Jesus Christ, "In the beginning was the Word," capital W, "and the Word was with God," Elohim, "and the Word was Elohim," God. "And that Word was Jesus," as John goes on to talk about in his gospel. Through Him, through Jesus, through this Word, all things were made. Without Him, nothing has been made that has been made. And He was the light of men. Speaking of Jesus being God Himself. Paul told the Colossians, "In Jesus all the fullness of the deity dwells in bodily form." All the fullness of God dwells in bodily form. Here is where we get into these areas where when those knocking on our doors try and teach us that they believe the same thing that we do, they don't. Because they do not believe that Jesus is God. when you open their Bibles that have been translated in their way to meet their doctrines, not the other way around, the words to John chapter 1 are changed strangely. Let's go on to the Holy Spirit, and then I'll get back to this in a little bit. We start talking next about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not an influence. He's not the power of God, like a power source. He is a person who hovered at creation, hovered over the waters. His titles are the Spirit of knowledge, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of holiness. Well, right there should tell you, if He is the Spirit of holiness, there's only one that's holy, and that's God. The Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of the Lord. In John chapter 14, Jesus says, if you love me and obey what I command, I'll ask the Father and He'll give you another counselor, capital C, to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. Now listen to these words. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. He, Holy Spirit, person, in you. Paul told the Ephesians, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Remember the story about Ananias and Sapphira, that they sold the land and kept some of the money for themselves. And the leader says, how is it that you kept some of the money for yourselves and you lied to the Holy Spirit? Now you can't lie to or grieve a power source or an influence. He's truly a person in the Holy Spirit. There are many ways to talk about this that we'd more fully understand it. The other day, my son and I were up at Wendy's, and it came time for lunch, and my son knew that he was going to be busy the rest of the afternoon, and he wanted something to carry him over for the rest of the day because we were going out later that night, and we wouldn't be eating till later. So when he ordered one of those triple burger cheeseburgers. I said, you're not going to eat that, but lo and behold, he ate that, he ate fries, he ate Frosty, and he had a hamburger. But there were three burgers that made that hamburger. Okay? The three in one. A lot of times we use an egg as an example. Alright? We have an egg. This is, let's just say, this is God. This is God. There are three parts to this, right? There's the shell, there's the white part, and then there's the yolk. Three in one. Now we have to understand this is not the best way to describe it, because there are three different substances here. But that's one way we describe it. Another good way is a cube. We have a cube here. It's made up of squares, it's a cube, and it's also a blue. So there's three parts to this. Blue, squares, and three-dimensional cube. Okay? So there are just some of the ways. Another way would be to think of ourselves, like I am a father, I'm a son of my father, and I'm a minister. So we start to get that concept a little bit, but we can't fully grasp them all being co-eternal from before time as we know it. They're creating the heavens and the earth. Elohim, that pluralistic God, three persons, let us create, let us create, not the angels, not anybody else, but God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, there creating the heavens and the earth. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Co-equal, co-eternal, of the same substance. Yet God chose in different ways to reveal Himself through God the creating Father, God the atoning Son, and God the quickening Holy Spirit, who lives and quickens us, gives us life. Now, let me talk a little bit about some other ideas and some other understandings, and I'm not doing this in a demeaning way this morning. God is revealed to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, each with distinct personal attributes, but without division of nature, essence, or being. Our Mormon friends believe that there are three different individuals physically distinct from each other. This is Mormon teaching. Three separate individuals physically distinct from each other. That Jesus is not God, although they believe He is the Savior. Now, how does that work? Well, When you start talking about other doctrines of the church, like substitutionary atonement, in that we needed a perfect substitute for our sacrifice, something or someone without blemish, there was no man acceptable, right? Because we had all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There had to be a perfect man, and the only way that could be made possible is if God, the perfect God himself, came to earth as a man and substituted himself as a sacrifice for our sins. That's called substitutionary atonement. If we think that Jesus is not God, then that goes completely out the window. Secondly, our Jehovah's Witness friends, when talking about the Holy Spirit, they believe the Holy Spirit is subject to God and believe that the Holy Spirit is God's energizing force that produces visible results. In Genesis chapter 1, they believe that God's active force was moving over the surface. They believe that Jesus is a God, but not Jehovah God. That's what we know as Arianism. That began hundreds and hundreds of years ago when the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed, which I'll get to in a minute, were written. Hinduism believes that man is divine and the purpose of human existence is the realization of the divinity within oneself. They call this God realization, or as we know it, enlightenment. You see the differences here? Some of these are on such a fine line when we meet with these people. But when we start talking about the Trinity, you'll find they don't believe in the Trinity. They don't believe that Jesus was God's Son, nor was He God in the flesh. They don't believe that the Holy Spirit is a person, but just a force. In Hinduism, they believe in reincarnation, which is self-purification through what we do, not through what God has done in bringing us to new life. And that we're reincarnated over and over and over to different forms of life until we reach that higher karma. That's not Christianity. And you can't take them all and mesh them together, taking pieces of one and the other, and come up with your own religion. That's completely bogus. In the New Age religions, it's taught that man is divine, that God is an ever-expanding energy form. In Christian Science, they teach that Jesus is a human man who demonstrated the Christ, but that he's not the Messiah, or he's not actually the Christ. He just demonstrated the Christ. Now, let's get to the good one. In Islam, we're taught that we worship the same God as the Muslims. That is far from the truth. When you open the Quran and you open the Bible and put them side by side and start to read, Allah is not a God of love. They believe that Judas, not Jesus, died on the cross because they believe that Jesus was God's prophet. And why would God allow his prophet to die like that? In Christianity, we teach that God allowed his son to die for our benefit, for forgiveness of our sins. None of these are new. None of these are new to our day and our age. These are why the Apostles' Creed, and better yet, the Nicene Creed, was developed. The Apostles' Creed was the early creed of Christians in the beginning of the second century, that when Christians were baptized, do you believe this? Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Yes, I do. Down you went, and up you came, and you were a new creation in Jesus Christ. In the Nicene Creed, they had a council to meet because there was all this discussion, and in the Christian church, there was disagreement as to whether Jesus was God, whether he was divine. So they came up with the Nicene Creed, and that we believe in one God, the Father of the Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen, and we believe in one Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to this. The only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, not created, of which are some of our Mormon and Jehovah Witness friends are telling us today that he was created by God. No. Eternally begotten of God. God from God, Jesus was. Light from light. True God from true God. That he proceeds from God. Begotten, not made. Of one being with the Father, and through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. He was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified. He suffered and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the scriptures and ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he'll come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. God from God, for us and for our salvation. Not so that we could discover the divinity inside us. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. You see, when we come to Jesus and accept Jesus, having heard the truth and receiving it as the Ephesians did, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell inside us and we're born again. We're given new life as the Holy Spirit comes to dwell inside us. We're now God's spiritual children. The Holy Spirit, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified together, and who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic, which means universal, one universal and apostolic church, meaning adhering to the teachings of the apostles. And we acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins and look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. That's what we believe. That's why we recite that. That's what we believe about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Christianity takes a different road from other religions. And when we're told by these other people that we're all the same and we're all Christians, we are not, because we do not believe the same, or they do not believe the same as we do in Orthodox Christianity regarding the Trinity. And especially when it comes to Jesus Christ, a pivotal point in the journey of life. A different road, and all roads do not lead to the same place. Jesus told us that. Narrow is the road and narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life. If it would have been our choice that every road leads there, Jesus would have told us. Now, we say, what does this mean for me today? All right, this is a lot of teaching, a lot of understanding from the Bible. What does this mean for me and for my salvation and me as a follower of Christ? We understand the Father's election, that He chose that it was this way, that in Christ, we would have eternal life. Then, according to His plan and for His joy, it tells us in Ephesians, He sent His Son, which means that God the Son part came to live among us and die for us and rose back up. And then, as Jesus said, He sent His Holy Spirit to give us life, to live inside us and with us. What does this mean for us? As my son put it when he did the bulletin for the job shadowing day, AOGT, accept one and you get three. It's like the buy one, get one free deal. You accept one God, the true God, and you get three. Three times the God of any other religion. Elohim, the strong one, the mighty leader, the supreme deity, the powerful God who created the universe, the loving God who sent His Son Jesus to die for our sins, and the living God who lives inside and gives life to all who follow Jesus. That's what it means for us today, that we have three times the God that other religions have. That we have a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three persons working, creating, atoning for our sins, living inside us. That's what Christianity and the Trinity is all about. Do not be fooled, and I don't want you to be fooled, when you're told that they're all the same, because they are not all the same. The Bible teaches that God is God, that Jesus is God, and that the Holy Spirit is God. And that's what we call the Trinity. Let's pray. God our Father, we are thankful to You for Your Word. Not man's word with some silly idea. For how would writers so long ago even have the concept of You being a triune pluralistic God, not three gods, but three people in one God. The only way they could know this when they wrote this was by your inspiration. And today, Lord, we have the blessing of being inspired by your word to read it and understand it, to know the great God that you are for us, for all you've done in creating this world, creating us, for all you've done in atoning for our sins, coming in the flesh to die on a cross for us, and again to quicken us and give us new life and life eternal by sending the other advocate, the Holy Spirit, to be in us and with us forever. God, that's our good news today. That's our strength and our hope for the future and our thanksgiving to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us close this morning as we sing together number 3 in our hymnal. Number 3.